And a very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you. Tonight, we continue the story of our journey to Ireland in August of 2013. It gets a little complicated, so please pay attention. As we pick up the action, Kyle and I are in a car heading to New York City, discussing where we were the previous week.
This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman with Nermeen Sheikh.
One of the country's oldest and most controversial nuclear plants has announced it will close late next year.
There's a lot of cost pressures that likely will shut down another dozen nuclear plants before this all shakes out.
Arnie Gunderson, I don't mean to bother you, but I just wanted to, I wanted to talk to you here for a little bit.
Yeah, that's better.
Thanks. Yeah, if you could keep it down a little bit. Ambient noise down. And then maybe we could have a little conversation here.
Yeah, well, I figured trying out the radio would be better because that's a different voice, so it might be confusing.
Well, and I got to blow my nose.
Yeah.
I've got a bit of a runny nose. So we're back.
We are?
Yeah. I know that you wanted to have a little conversation, because we didn't actually finish recording, and we've been back for like 2 days now, I believe.
Has it been that long? Yeah. Well, I'm still a little jet lagged, but we got back Monday night, and it's now Wednesday afternoon. So yeah, about 2 days, I guess.
Isn't that something? So yeah, I got a little bit of a sinus thing going on, but I feel pretty good. You've been getting some naps in. I've been sleeping pretty well. Every time I lay down, I feel this glowing rest sensation all over my body. But, we're kind of getting back to normal.
Yeah, I think so. I think slowly we're getting used to it. That's what happens when you fly all the way back, because people seem to think that you get jet lag only going overseas and not coming back, but I've always had it coming back much more than going over, probably because you wake up earlier and you stay up longer, and then you kind of like mixed up as to what time it really is, so you wake up at 5 in the morning and you can't go back to sleep, and then you start doing things and you fall asleep again in the afternoon, and you just have to sort of figure out a way out of that, and we're kind of in the middle of it right now.
Yeah, I was finding, I think, skipping, like, certain meals, you feel like normally you'd be doing one thing, but you're kind of out of routine, and it's okay, though. You kind of just do what your body wants to do to recover, and, gosh, it went really smooth. I'm sure we'll talk about a little bit the way back. So we really, really didn't have not as many things working against us as we do when we're out there kind of in the chaos of travel. And so it was actually pleasant getting onto our flight and the 7 hours going back and then riding back out to where we live and do radio out here on Long Island.
I'm not really sure that you'd say pleasant. I mean, I guess it is pleasant, but there are certain things I'd do differently. For one thing, you don't go through customs in the United States. You go through customs in Ireland, which is kind of weird. I don't know of any other country that gets to put its customs in a different country. But what that means is that we had to arrive much earlier. Our flight was at 3:30, and we were told that if we weren't there by 1:45, that we wouldn't get on. And so basically that meant going through security and then going through U.S. customs right there in Ireland, which meant basically, I think, going through two different desks, like talking to one person, asked where you've been, the usual crap, and then a second person that basically, in our case, he asked me one question, and I got the question wrong because, well, I was kind of tired, and also I was kind of a little confused. He asked me if I had checked the bag, and the answer should have been yes, because we checked in together, and the one bag that we checked went under my ticket, not yours. So I said no, and then he said, "Is this your bag here?" Showed me a picture on the screen of the bag that we had checked. And I said, oh, yeah, I forgot I checked that for my friend, which when you think about it, that's really not the right thing to say, that you checked a bag for a friend. But he basically said, okay, you're all set, whatever. It didn't seem to be a big deal. And as it turns out, you were going on a different line. You were having a friendlier conversation with somebody, and she asked you if this was your bag, which is odd because it wasn't checked under your ticket, but there was the picture of your bag then, and you said, yes, that's my bag. And so I don't know if my guy was aware of the conversation that was going on your line, and that's why he was, you know, okay with me getting it wrong. But it was just weird how they were able to call up the picture so quickly. I don't know if it was a live picture or something from file footage or whatever, but it was kind of weird. And then after all that, so we get to go through security again a second time. And this kind of really ticked me off a bit because, you know, because we're Americans, because we're stupid Americans, we have to take our shoes off. That you don't have to do that anywhere else. So when we went through the original security line, you know, we just went through like regular people, and taking your shoes off doesn't accomplish anything. It's stupid. And we just, you know, went through it like everybody else does. But when we were entering American soil, still in Ireland, yeah, we had to take our shoes off. And it was really dumb because we didn't even go through any kind of detector. We just took our shoes off and walked down a little hallway, and that was it. Our baggage had to be scanned again. But it's just, I just felt like I was entering the land of stupidity again. And on top of everything else, okay, after we did all this and we're sitting there nice and early, we're stuck. We're kind of in prison. We can't mingle with anybody else in the airport. We're stuck with all the people on our plane only, and that means we get one choice of cafes to hang out in and spend our last few euros as we wait for our plane to start loading. So it really, yeah, it was nice when we got to New York and we could just exit in the JetBlue terminal, which is a domestic terminal, and just walk out into New York. That was nice, but I kind of wasn't too thrilled with having to do all that on the other side and kind of get ripped off as to my last few moments in Europe.
Wow. Yeah. Hold on. You'll have to pardon me. I got to blow my nose again. Sorry.
But we'll almost certainly edit those out because that's not the kind of thing people want to hear.
Okay. Wow. Well, I would say comparatively, it was a little bit less of a hassle, but it compared to the other kinds of adventures going across borders we've had in the past, and also our other logistics during this particular trip. But suffice to say, I had the same thing. I was talking to this woman, and I'd never seen it before, and it was this image on a screen, a still photo captured on the screen, basically of the bag that you had checked. And I think the only reason, like, ordinarily it would have been an issue, the fact that we kind of answered in weird ways, but the fact that we checked in together, I think, pretty much made it apparent that this was one of our items.
I just wonder where it was noted that we checked in together. I mean, we did. We went up to the representative, which also was another thing, because we had checked in on the web, but for some reason we couldn't get our boarding pass to print out. I think we were supposed to print it out somewhere else, like at home, but we didn't have a printer in the hotel we were staying at, so we just clicked web check-in because that seemed to be the thing to do, and when we got to the airport, it said see representative, so we saved absolutely nothing by doing that.
And it was kind of silly because the machines for that particular airline locked you out of actually printing a boarding pass. Often you can do a reprint even if you do a web check-in, so it was a little bizarre. It was really nice to be able to go through.
Can I also point out that the last segment that we aired, you were driving in Ireland. We were talking about weren't talking about Ireland so much as we were talking about going to the UK. And now we're back in the United States, and I'm driving on the other side of the road, and I guess we're going to be talking about Ireland.
You guessed it. That's absolutely right. I actually was going to segue. I want to transition. I want to talk to you, not about our recent experience traveling, but Liverpool, where we left off. I wanted to know your impressions of that, and talk a little bit about what happened in between.
Well, I didn't much care for Liverpool, to be honest. Well, first of all, getting up there, I think we might have touched upon this, but we had to, you know, I don't remember the name of the small city that we had to stop in on the way up. We took a Virgin train, you know, Virgin, the people that, well, they were a record company, and now they're an airplane company, and what else do they do?
Mobile telephone.
Mobile telephones and spacecraft and...
Yes.
All right, and trains. Trains in England. So you can take various different companies from London to Liverpool. And we chose Virgin because it was a lot cheaper. I don't want to say cheaper, just like what you would expect to pay. Not a couple of hundred pounds to go 3 hours, but more like, you know, £30. But what that meant was, for some reason, we couldn't connect directly to Liverpool. We had to switch at a particular station along the way. And we do this all the time. We switch trains and transfer and all that kind of thing. But on the itinerary, they print you an itinerary, and it says, you know, train from London to City X. I'm sorry, I forgot the name. It's probably best because I'm not going to say very nice things about it. And then City X, the second part, walk. It said that this train is called walk, and that lasts for about 15 minutes. And you go from one station to another station. The second station was called City X Central. I figured that meant there would be a big station. When we got to that place, and of course the third leg was City X Central to Liverpool, when we got to that city, we started walking thinking there'd be signs. There were signs. At first there were signs. We started asking people. People weren't aware there was another train station in their own town. And we had to walk literally 15 minutes, maybe even more. We had heavy bags. We just thought it would be a lot better hooked up than that. And we finally, after all that time, found it. Of course, the lift was broken, so we had to climb up the stairs. And it was the most ancient, archaic train station I think I'd ever seen. It looked like it was from the 1950s or something. And we had to wait a very long time for the train, and there were no other trains. And when it finally got there, it looked like it was from the 1950s. This, I think it was a three-car diesel train filled with sleeping people that I think were on their way from Manchester to Liverpool, which is quite a commute. Actually, it's not that far away, but the people there have a fierce rivalry and different accents and things like that. So it was just really kind of a... I mean, I'm glad there are trains. I think it's important, even if they're old trains, at least there are trains. At least the framework is there. They can improve upon it and make it better, as opposed to our country where we don't have enough trains and don't have enough track anywhere. So it was somewhat convenient. That walk was ridiculous. There should be a way to connect those two different lines of track, and there should be a way to take a train directly using whatever company you want. But we eventually made it to Liverpool late at night. I think it was the last train we caught. If we hadn't caught that train, we would have been sitting for another 6 hours. And then we just sort of found our way to the place we were staying. I think that hotel, we wound up staying in an attic. Literally, it was an attic room, no window. That was kind of bizarre. But we were only staying in Liverpool for one day. A couple of things I wanted to see, but mostly it was the transfer point for the boat to Belfast. And that, to me, was something really worth looking forward to. An overnight boat, always fun. You get a cabin, and hopefully you sleep in the cabin and wake up and you're at your destination. And going to Belfast in Northern Ireland, something I had never done before. And that was one of the things I was really looking forward to.
Yeah, wow. It was neat. The place we stayed in was indeed in an attic, and it was kind of nice, given that we had walked, made our walking connection from those two stations that were basically train tracks that intersected. One was north-south, one was east-west, and there was several blocks across town in between. So when we got...
Well, ironically enough, when we got to Liverpool... We always stay near train stations. We always stay near the train station that we come in on, because that way you don't have to carry your bags very far. Sometimes you get a much cheaper place. Sometimes it's a grittier kind of neighborhood, which we kind of like. And so we stayed right across the street from Liverpool Lime Street, which is the main train station. As it turns out, the next day when we wanted to actually go places within Liverpool, the metro station there was shut down for a period of time. In fact, it was going to reopen the day after we left. And we had to walk to, guess what, Liverpool Central Station. So we had to do the same thing again the next day on a different scale and walk to this other station further away from where we were staying. So we kind of got beaten at our own game. So we had to do that in order to move around the city at all.
Yeah, it really was like deja vu in a different city. But we got a good tea. We went to an organic breakfast place. That was nice.
And again, we had to climb up all these stairs. There's seems to be a theme in Liverpool, climbing up lots of stairs. Our hotel, as we said, was in an attic. And not only was it in an attic, steep, rickety stairs, I think three or four stories we had to climb. And on the top of every staircase, these little narrow double doors that are very heavy, and guess what? They pull out. So you got these bags on you, and you have to somehow manipulate not one but two doors and pull them and pull hard because they're heavy and not fall down the stairs. They had an elevator. They had a lift, but, of course, they shut it down at 10 o'clock every night.
Yes, apparently it was too noisy to run the lift at night in this particular place. So
the noise we made going up the stairs with all those bags and complaining loudly along the way, I think beat the elevator. I really do.
Absolutely. Hold on one second. Just want to check how I'm doing here. I also need another tissue. I've got a terrible runny nose thing. We're gonna edit this out entirely.
I think we should just piece them all together.
Yeah, well, that would be cool, too. We could make an audio, like a soundscape of me blowing my nose and sniffling. Hold on a second.
Endless loop. Are you done?
I think I'm done. I'm really doing my best here. I'm, you know...
Look, it's a smart car. Just like my smart car that doesn't move.
You're right, that's a bit deeper red. It's not quite the same color.
Well, that's because mine's been sitting in the sun for over a year now, so I think some of the red has gotten out of it.
Well, we'll get to some of those projects too, because we're gonna be working on that. It's a little tough. You got to ease yourself back in to projects and things that you're doing when you get back. And I know we've got a bit of adventure lined up, just tackling that problem or bit of fun, if you want to put a spin on it.
You mean going to get pickles?
Well, that's what we're doing right now.
That's the project, I thought.
Well, you know, I'm glad you're focused on what's important right now, because you know what? This
that's all I'm focused on, getting pickles. If there's something else, I don't want to even think about it, because I can only focus on one thing at a time. We're getting pickles today, right? We are getting pickles. You promised.
Yes, I promised that I would make us get pickles. And now you are following through on that promise by, getting us into the city early. And this is kind of a regular thing. Of course, we're in this daze, this strange place of getting back oriented. This is a normal thing we do when we go to do the Off the Hook radio show.
And what are we doing today?
Yeah, we have Off the Hook today. Did you know?
Well, no, because I'm focused on the pickles. Maybe after the pickles, I can focus on another radio show.
Hey, that's fine by me, because I'll tell you, I was really craving pickles. They have gherkins, they have pickle juice and these kinds of products in England. And in fact, when we were in Liverpool, we saw a drink, a particular drink called a pickleback on the menu. And you don't often see it on the menu. It's sort of a popular drink. Yeah, you got to ask for it by name. It's basically a shot of liquor.
Well, I just want to say, I think we should take the credit for bringing it out to Long Island, because we found a place, I think it's on Broome Street in New York, that has picklebacks. They're known for it. It's near where we're going to get the pickles today, because they get the brine from those people. And we brought it out to a local pub out by us and said, here, try this. And next thing you knew, it got really popular. We saw strangers coming in, people we didn't know, asking for picklebacks. And I know, at least in that particular establishment, that's because of us. We brought it out there. I thought that was really kind of cool. As you said, we found a different kind of pickleback in Liverpool. It was called a pickleback, but it wasn't quite the same.
It really wasn't the same, I got to say. It was sweet pickle juice. Maybe we're doing it wrong, but to my taste, it wasn't quite the same as the one we first tried on Broome Street and the pickle juice we get from this place we're going now.
How would one make a good pickleback in your eyes?
Well, I honestly think it's you got to have a good kosher brine, and it's got to be cold pickle juice, really cold. I would say that from what I've been seeing out on Long Island, the place where we kind of turn people onto it, There's even some innovation, and people are starting to put hot sauce in the pickle juice.
Yes.
So in any event, it's good to see. And
you left out half the drink. What else do you do with a pickleback? How do you make one?
Well, you have a shot of some kind of alcohol, a 1 ounce shot of say like Jameson whiskeys, traditional. That's an Irish whiskey, but some people prefer vodka.
Yeah, some people do prefer vodka because it tastes better.
And the important thing that you taste is the pickle juice. So whatever your taste is, you chase your 1 ounce shot of alcohol with the pickle juice itself.
Yeah, you do a shot of each, and the effect is a very smooth sensation, something that that you remember. And yeah, the hot sauce, as you mentioned, and there's all kinds of variations. People now hop on one foot and chant something in some places. It's just, it develops. It evolves over time and space.
Absolutely. And that's really what travel's about, is bringing these things, cool cultural things, looking for cool cultural things, and sharing them with people. Even if it's traveling in your region or in your state, spreading things around, getting people excited about living life and kind of having good times and good conversations amid all the seriousness and day-to-day stuff. So we are going to do some very serious pickle buying, and New York is a great place to buy pickles. We've got we could do a whole show on that, but we're back, and that is the priority. And if we have time, if we can fit it in, we're going to do this radio show off the hook.
Yeah.
And that's presumably going to happen at WBAI, and if they're still on the air and all that. But
on that subject, I just want to hear them for a second, because they're going to do that transition, the new program. I just want to hear what that sounds like.
Yeah, go ahead. You know what? I'm just going to keep recording. We have 65 hours of tape.
All right. Well, this is the end of Democracy Now. It's going to go into some program that comes from a different station at 4 o'clock. There's no more talk back, so they're developing an afternoon drive show. And this is not for us to broadcast, because we're broadcasting on the radio station, which is highly illegal. I just would like to have this opportunity for the next 1 minute to like hear what they actually do.
Okay, well, we're going to listen anyway. We'll come back, and I'm going to record through, and we'll continue and pick up our conversation.
Yeah, we don't even need to say goodbye, because we won't be airing this part of it anyway. So we'll just bring this up and stop talking and come back.
Sounds good.
And find where my baby is gonna be. Hey Lord, would you look out for her tonight, 'cause she is far across the sea. Hey Lord, would you look out for her tonight and make sure that she's gonna be alright, and things are gonna be alright with me. Hey Lord, would you look out for her tonight and make sure that all her dreams are sweet. Then now would you guide her along the roads and make them soft for her feet. Hey Lord, would you look out for her tonight and make sure that she's gonna be alright until she's home and here with me. Hey Lord, would you look out for her tonight if she is sleeping under the sky. Then now make sure the ground she's sleeping on is always warm and dry. Don't you give her too much rain, try to keep her away from pain, because my baby hates to cry. Hey Lord, would you look out for her tonight, 'cause it gets rough along the way. Except now my song seems strange, it's just because I don't know how to pray. Won't you give her peace of mind. And if you ever find the time, won't you better ride Mr. Ribbity?
Talking about, we just took a break here. We were checking some stuff on the air, getting reorganized, and we've been talking a little bit about the last parts of our recent trip to Europe. Yeah, the other side of the pond, as people like to say. We're on our way right now to WBAI's studios.
No, we're getting pickles. You said we were getting pickles. Did you trick me?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Emmanuel corrected me. He's absolutely right. We aren't going to do radio. We are going into the city to get pickles.
Right.
And if we end up going and doing a little bit of radio, we will try to fit that in. But the real crux of this mission, getting on track, you got to have comfort. I got a little bit of a cold last night. I don't know how. I had kind of a light meal, but it's not about that. It's really, you got to have comfort. You got to take care of yourself. And we were just remarking about the various drinks and pickle juice. And one of the really great ways to get pickle juice is get fresh pickles. And there's some good spots in New York. So we're on the way right now to get some pickles. And while we've been on that journey here, we've been discussing a little bit of the last leg of our journey to Europe. We went to all kinds of different places. We went to some places we've been before, like country-wise, but we went to cities that we hadn't been to, which was really neat, and parts of cities that we hadn't really enjoyed before. Tried to do things different. Tried to mix it up. Go to some places not do the same thing twice. We didn't want to repeat things in a lot of ways. We just kept exploring and talked to a lot of really interesting people along the way. We've been doing a little bit of filming and also capturing some of our thoughts and creating a little bit of radio along the way. Obviously stuff that we'll produce and broadcast later. Just telling a little bit more in depth about what exactly we did in each different spot. There's a lot to it, and we're gonna talk a little bit more about our boat ride from Liverpool. Well, not Liverpool, actually. The docks is sort of an industrial area, and not only did we make a walk, it was like deja vu all over again. We had to make a walk from the from the one train station to the other to get into the metro system. Is that it?
In Liverpool, yeah, we had to walk. We tried to get into the metro that's right across the street from our hotel, but that wasn't working out, so we had to walk a few blocks and up a hill to get to the other metro station, which was in a place called Liverpool Central Station, which wasn't so central.
Right, right. And you know why we were doing that? It's because we were going to get on a shuttle bus. And this is a great shuttle bus, a really excellent shuttle bus. I've never been on it, but if you need to get to the dock to take a ferry, I recommend this shuttle bus because you won't have to walk.
What shuttle bus? I didn't see any shuttle bus.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that because there is a shuttle bus that takes you from the station to the dock. Am I getting this right?
Well, I don't know. I never saw a shuttle bus, but if you say there's one, I believe you, but no, we didn't take it.
Well, I seem to remember when we were lost trying to find the dock that you flagged somebody down driving a bus.
Just 1 second here. We weren't lost. We just were impatient that we weren't getting there fast enough. But we followed the signs that said that this is the way to the dock, and we asked people, and I don't think we were really lost. We just wished we were there quicker.
Well, I think you should speak for yourself, because I didn't feel impatient one bit. I was prepared for this journey, had all my stuff strapped down, and, you know, I like a good walk, a good afternoon walk.
As I recall, most of that walk was you basically unleashing all your fury in my direction in a way that was so impassioned and spirited that people were looking out their windows as we passed by with all of our bags walking towards the ferry terminal, which admittedly was another 15-minute walk. But as I kept pointing out to you, it would be the last real walk with all the heavy baggage that we would have to take if everything worked out properly, which it sort of did.
And you were very pleasant in enduring my litigious wrath.
Actually, I was listening to music. I had headphones on. I guess you couldn't see that.
No, I didn't see that. I didn't even know you brought headphones, like little ear, like the earbud kind of things that people use.
Yeah, I had them plugged in there really tightly, so I really couldn't hear a word you were saying.
Wow, you are really prepared. You were like an Eagle Scout or something.
I was listening to death speed metal, and it was I think it was pretty effective for what I needed to do at that point, which was basically just drown out 100% of my surroundings. If you notice, I just kept plodding ahead towards the boat terminal, and I would sometimes see you gesticulating and at one time standing on top of one of the bags, but we just, you know, I just kept going, and I think what you took that to mean that I accepted what you were saying and just it was bouncing off of me, and we should just keep going for our best interests. But in actuality, I was just completely ignoring everything you were saying.
Wow. Well, you did have your head down and kind of just plodded right on, and I was really inspired by that, because in that point I was, well, getting a little tired of putting my arms up and waving around, and my voice was a bit hoarse after getting into the details of how I'd present my lawsuit and how my orthopedic surgeon was going to testify and whatnot. So, wow. But we made it. We did actually stop one of the shuttle bus drivers. It was the kind of thing where we left the station that we got out of, looked around, and apparently there was some shuttle bus, but it was like, look, let's get there. We've got a boat to get on, this exciting boat ride. It's an overnight boat ride. We've done an overnight train, and I'll say I'd never, ever slept. Well, that's not true. I've slept on a train in America. Never slept on a foreign train until we went cross country to Stockholm on our way back from Tromsø in Norway, and that was a year or two ago, I believe. This time it was a boat. You seek to just top one thing after another with travel. I don't know how you do it, but you found this boat ride, and it was a really interesting thing. I mean, at every step we kind of found the right way to go, the right accommodations, and it was all unplanned. You didn't know until we actually got there, and I really admire that. You did an excellent job. Shuttle buses and 3 to 4 walks in less than a 24-hour period with enormous bags, probably our fault. I regret packing as much as we did, but all those aside, I was able to just spew my fury, get that off my chest. We flagged down the bus driver. He actually got us to the dock, said it's just right over the bridge. And there we were at the dock. And the only ones there, we check in and...
We flagged down the bus driver who was going the other direction. That's why we didn't get a ride from him. Because I think he was going back to the metro station that we had walked from. And he just said, yeah, it's just over that bridge there. You know, we wanted to verify that we were going in the right direction. So it was nice to get that verification, but we still had to walk.
Yes, that was the driver that, we had missed him going to the dock. But he was kind enough to show us just across the bridge. And, wow, it was really interesting. It was sort of a distributionary kind of what I see out in the port on the West Coast. A lot of trucks, lorries, as they call them, lining up, getting ready with containers. Basically, there's a sidewalk that you approach the walk-in part, and most people don't walk on to these boats.
In fact, I don't know why this is, and I learned this 4 years ago, too, when I was coming from Ireland into the UK. There are some ferries that don't allow foot passengers. You have to come in a car. It doesn't mean you stay in your car. Obviously, when you pull your car onto an overnight ferry, you're expected to get out and do something else. But they don't allow people to just walk on to some of these boats. I don't know why that is. I don't understand it. But this boat at least allowed people to do that. There weren't very many who took them up on the offer, and we were two of them. We might have been the only two, but no, there were more because I saw other people getting off later when we actually, you know, landed or whatever. So it's kind of a weird thing. We got there hours before we were supposed to leave. We thought we might have to sit around for a long time waiting, but actually they brought us onto the boat almost immediately through a little... We did get to take a shuttle bus. It was a shuttle bus from the passenger terminal to the actual boat, so that was kind of pleasant.
Yeah. When you approach, you're behind all the cars, and then you're in a sort of a check-in center. They do have security, but it wasn't much of a screen. It was more just a waiting room, and we got on with all our bags on sort of a half bus, and that takes you from the visitor's sort of reception gathering security checkpoint thingy. It takes you from there to the actual boat. The boat is a long ways off. It's a long walk down this dock, so it was nice to actually get on the shuttle bus there. We only waited there for about 15 minutes, and then they load us up, and you pass all the lorries. They're all kind of lined up, waiting to be oriented and parked onto this ferry. And our shuttle bus just drove in and backed up right to the walkway, to the elevator, and dropped us off there. And it's interesting because this is a ferry unlike anything I've seen. It takes trucks, big trucks. It's not quite cruise ship size, and it's not quite like a commuter ferry like I'm used to in the Pacific Northwest and like they have in BC. It's a cross between the two, where you have maybe three or four decks of rooms where people stay overnight, and many trucks delivering items out to Ireland and helping with like basically global logistics. That's what you do when you are you're out on Ireland. You get stuff from Europe ferried out. And in addition to that, you have passengers, and they even have sections for truck drivers because there's so many trucks. They have their own kind of cafeteria and probably a different rate to stay overnight. Very interesting boat. Fairly big, but I've never slept on a cruise ship. I've never really slept on a sailboat or a private boat. So this was a bit of a different experience.
Not only that, but you actually used the shower in our cabin. I bet that's the first time you took a shower in a boat.
It is, yeah. And I actually quite enjoyed it. I basically checked out the very small bathroom, and it's usable. It's usable. The water pressure was good, and it was very warm. Oh my gosh!
But this is one of those moments. We always seem to have these weird things happen to us. But look what we're seeing right now.
That is a chic little biscuit.
It's a truck.
I should explain.
Explain the whole thing, because, yeah, wow, we're passing a truck that has that on it.
Yeah, absolutely. This is a Lou truck. We're on the Parkway, I believe.
LU,
and they're very famous. It's a French biscuit company. They also make crackers and a whole host of other things. And when I traveled to France, the first time I'd ever been away, I stayed in a town near Brittany on the coast, the west coast of France. And the Lou factory is actually located out there in the city of Nantes. And I've pointed this out to you, and they're very, very popular crackers, and I've toured the factory, and that was kind of one of my first experiences traveling by myself, kind of, as a young person. So that's very funny that we passed by that truck.
Is it possible that LU means Luxembourg? Because that's their top-level domain.
You know, it's quite possible. It may have originated there, but I believe the factory is located in France, and it's mostly known for being a French cookie company, but I think that's a fact. Maybe somebody could write in and tell us a little bit more about, or something we could do a little research on. Either way, a pretty renowned and long-storied cracker company.
We were actually in a French supermarket, and we were going through an aisle that had nothing but products from that company, and that was pretty cool. I'm just bringing back to the French supermarket, which is not anywhere near what we're talking about right now. But so it's kind of cool that we went in there and just bought a bunch of stuff, and actually went into a different supermarket late at night, right when they were closing. Remember that? They kind of just let us go in and buy things.
Yeah, I remember that. That was really, really kind of spooky. We were just getting back maybe from some food and wanted to bring a little bit of fizzy water because, gosh, you can get fizzy water. And that's kind of nice just to have with you. Especially if you maybe have some crackers and some good French brie. You gotta pack some snacks sometimes, and I love shopping and getting kind of local stuff, so I was really interested in getting some fizzy water, and we popped by this one store, and we had been in there earlier, but it was a close, but the security guy was kind of poking his head out and letting people in, and it was the weirdest transaction, because I saw somebody else, he let somebody else in, and then I kind of approached and I said, I had the money out, and I was like ready, asking for water, and he said, okay, I'll get you a bottle. He walks in, and he's basically doing the shopping for me, getting this large bottle, and then he comes back with this still water, a big bottle of still water. It's not what I wanted. I wanted fizzy water, and I said, no, with gas, because if you say with gas, people understand that, and the guy goes running back in, and he brings me a bottle of San Pellegrino, some good Italian fizzy water, and I'm thinking it was at least as maybe like a euro 30, something really, really inexpensive. I handed him the change, and off I went. Didn't even walk into the store. He was basically kind of, it was
curbside service.
Yeah, it was a little dodgy looking, but hey, you know, that's the way they do things in France, keeping the store maybe open a little bit longer if people are still trying to get some supplies after an evening. I forget if it was the weekend.
There were people inside the store, though. I don't, he let some people in, or it seemed like they were maybe just rummaging about. You know, we just assumed that he worked there. But it was basically like he was just poking his head out of the door and saying, yeah, what do you need? And running off and getting it and collecting money, and then, you know, those people would be on their way.
Yeah, yeah, but you kind of go with these situations, and gosh, that was a little bizarre, but you just, that's how you get what you need. You just have to kind of feel things out.
You see how we just get caught up in the story just by seeing a truck on the Long Island Expressway? This is what's happening to us. Every time we see something, it reminds us of an adventure or something that happened to us along the way. So we'll probably doing that for quite some time.
Well, and I hope people can bear with us, because that's the best way to tell stories. If we just go straight through and tell things chronologically, we're just gonna say we went here and that was nice, and then we went here and that was nice, and then we went here and that was nice. You don't get the same sense of, you don't remember the same kind of anecdotal funny interaction and humor or bizarre situation if you just kind of go through each thing and force out the story. So please, if you see something else that reminds you, I'm going to do the same thing. If something reminds me of something we saw, I'm going to stop us and point it out.
Well, gosh, we just passed under an overpass, and it reminded me of a particular train bridge I saw. I think it was in Italy. But, you know, it's not really that interesting a story. It was just we passed a bridge, and I remember it.
Okay, so that was a good test, and clearly you're lying.
No, I'm not lying. You think I didn't see a bridge when I was in Italy? I saw lots of bridges.
Yes, but you don't have an accompanying story. But,
no, but I didn't say I did.
But that reminds me of seeing sunflower fields when we were driving on the train in Italy.
Oh, you did not.
Yeah, they have sunflowers, and they were not fully grown. They weren't quite up yet. Some fields were really full of sunflowers. Some just had the plants growing. It was sort of bizarre, and I was thinking, do sunflowers all sprout at the same time, or is it based on what field has what kind of light? You know, some farmers have better luck getting their sunflowers to face up quicker than others. The harvest season's coming up. It's August now, late August. And, well, basically that means September, October, November, that is the harvest season. So if crops are planted, they are basically in the final stages of growing and blooming, right now, because there's intense sunlight, and, they'll grow for a little bit longer, and then they'll be harvested just before winter starts.
Well, good for them. I never really thought about it that much.
Well, that's what we're here for, thinking about other things that basically, you don't always think about. It's one of those things I picked up and I know, and I'm happy to share it. But we don't have to talk about that at all. Was something that I was reminded of when you were talking about train rides and bridges and things you saw out the window in Italy.
You know, I'm so lost now. I don't remember where we were in the recounting of our trip. Where are we? Are we on the boat? Yeah, we're on the boat, right?
Well, we just got backed in a bus, and they dropped us off at the stairwell, and we were climbing up the stairs trying to find our room on this mid-sized ferry.
But you have already taken a shower in the room. We already talked about that.
You jumped ahead.
Oh, God. Okay, so I jumped ahead. So we're still getting on the boat.
Well, we're going to have to put all this confusion on hold for another week as we're running out of time. But when we return, we'll continue the drive into New York City, where we reminisce over the ferry ride to Northern Ireland back in August 2013. Undoubtedly, Kyle and I are somewhere else right now recording more material to play back at a future date. And until next time, this is Emmanuel Goldstein. Have a good night.
Night falls, shadows call your name across the water. So stand tall, for through it all the sticks and stones rain down. Hear that mud crack in his sleeping shack. The old man river is rising. Yes, he's waking up, and from his golden cup he'll drink the river dry. Well, now, take me across the way tonight. Those golden fields are calling out to me, ashore I long to be tonight. Yes, now, ferryman,
oh,
ferryman, won't you please take my fee? I kiss the coin for heaven and a coin for me. Well, ferryman, set me free. I'll walk through gold. Calling out to me, ashore I long to be tonight.